This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
Hey guys, what's up? We're here live at Forecastle 2019. We're joined by the one and only Israel Nash. Israel, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
I'm super, super excited to have you on today's show. You've been doing some amazing stuff. And first off, I just want to ask you, how do you feel being here today?
Well, I've been looking forward to this for a while. You know, I mean, this is a cool festival. I think I've been wanting to play it for a couple of years, and it's kind of been on my radar. And everything kind of worked out this year to get here. So this is the last show. We had this short little run. We're going back to Texas for like 5 days, and then we're off to Sweden. So this is the last show. This is kind of why we got out here. And, I mean, this is a good town.
I love it. I love it. So you're gearing up for your European tour, which you're going to spend some significant time in Sweden. How do you prepare for your shows? Because I know that you're very energetic. You interact with the crowd a lot, and it's always like to see you on stage. You really come alive. How do you prepare for each tour?
You have to ease back into it. I mean, you know, it's not something you just like turn on. You know, so I think you get some of that with rehearsals a couple days beforehand. Kind of, it's not like you can just sing like, you know. It's like I write and make music all the time, but there's a difference between like kind of writing and figuring stuff out, and you're like you know, singing kind of normally, and then you're doing this and moving around and hey, you know, like, so you have to get your voice kind of there. And like Eric and I, well, my pedal steel player who's left, I guess, we'll call it tour voice, where it's like you start singing a few shows, you're like, well, it was hard to sing a new song maybe early on, and now it's like, oh, that's like butter, you know. It's like, so, yeah, it's nice. I think that's, you have to ease into it, but now we've had, like, four shows, so I think we're kind of warm, you know?
I love it. I love it. Do you have, like, any, like, pre-show or pre-tour rituals or anything that you do to kind of help you get into mindset and kind of clear your head? And
I try to have, you know, a quiet time to myself for a little bit, you know? I feel like on tour and kind of rolling out like we do, it's like if you can just find a few minutes, moments of kind of a meditative sort of space, just to kind of be there for a little bit before the energy that is. And then when you're there, just to have fun. And I think it's about, I kind of try to encourage the guys to be in what I call the musical moment, which is the now, the here, the now, you know. It's like, let's enjoy this stuff. I mean, this is, you know, we get to continue to do this because music is a vehicle that brings us all over, you know, and we can meet a diverse amount of people that come together that may have never assembled. And that's the power of music, you know, and it's historically has been. And, I mean, anciently, I mean, in our DNA, it's in our bones, you know. So I love seeing that.
Absolutely, yeah, music, definitely, it breaks down cultural barriers, religious barriers, gender. I mean, it's a great unifier, you know. It unifies people in a way that sports or movies or whatever could never, you know. It's really unique.
It's spiritual, you know, and I think I have a lot of fans that I'll meet that have those feelings of experiential times at the shows, and that's what we're there for, I feel like. And then I've also had the pleasure of meeting more and more fans and just like really engaging with the fans like afterwards at shows, like when it's more of a headline show and there's kind of that structure. And just seeing how much music that I've been a part of has been in their lives in ways that have nothing to do with me, you know? But it's, again, that showing of how connected we are. And I think music helps see those tangible, it makes them real rather than just like funny ideas that are spiritual or something, but more like, hey, this is just real. Like, this brings us together and we're having a good time. Let's do that more, you know?
Do you ever, so is it safe to say that that's how you gain a lot of your inspiration for your songs? Because, I'm stepping out on a limb here, but would you say that the energy that you meet from people that you, you know, meet out on tour and just your experiences, do they help to kind of shape your songs?
I think I always say that, for me, it's, you know, my art is a real part of my life. You know, I speak through a lens that is my lens through how I see these things and how I communicate. And it's been like that since I was 12 years old trying to write songs, you know. And so I guess what I feel is that being able to travel, you know, I wrote songs for a long time before I ever went on the road, you know. And whenever that started happening, you know, that shaped my life. That changed my life. Because, you know, I was a kid from Missouri. I went to New York City. I got to experience some stuff. But then, like, going out and playing music around, seeing how small the world was, you know, seeing all these just different people. But again, like, we're sharing something here. And that's so much bigger than me and bigger than them. And I can... And so that has shaped me as a person, which there in turn has shaped my songs. I wouldn't have the outlook that I have without that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I wanted to ask you, you know, like your style of playing is amazing, and it's almost like certain parts. It's almost like you channel like people that can, like Jim Morrison or somebody. Is there, I guess, anybody in particular that you really? That you listened to growing up that maybe helped to kind of shape and define your style?
Yeah, I grew up listening to a lot of my dad's rock and roll. I mean, I think we always bonded over that, just like cranking up music in the car. And he was a big Creedence Clearwater Revival fan. And there's some of that in this music, this kind of rock and roll, Bakersfield, kind of California, you know. So I think that kind of influenced me. And then more deeply also, just the essence of being a songwriter is important to me. So it's like I always looked up to the, you know, the Bob Dylans, the Neil Youngs, and this idea of being a songwriter at core. You know, it's like presenting a rock, you know, this thing, but at the core it's me and songs. And so, you know, I've looked up to those guys, to Neil, to CSNY, to these kind of cosmic country sounds, you know, to then also like the Floyd is a big one for me. Just, you know, kind of getting out of genres too, just like in between these little channels of rock, you know, and the little tributaries of it, you know.
I love it. That's what's so amazing about your sound is it's so eclectic, and I think that it blends together for just an experience unlike any other. Tell me, when you are, I guess, when you're preparing, you know, when you're writing, would you say that, like, your senses and your, I guess, the way that you hear things are heightened, you know, while you're, you know, writing, preparing, so to speak?
Yeah. I'll tell you a little story. Like, so I built this ranch, this studio. We live in the country on 15 acres outside of Austin, in the hill country of Texas. Have you been to Austin?
I have. I've been to Austin. It's very nice.
You've been to the hill country?
Yes, sir. Oh. I got lost, and I didn't spend an amount of time there, but I turned around, but I was like, oh.
It's beautiful out
it
there.
Is.
So we moved out there in 2012, and, you know, I built a studio, and that has really changed everything for me. And it's also made me, over time, where I've become an engineer of sorts, you know? I mean, I'm not trying to record my whole record or anything like that. That's a lot of work. But it's like I had a studio, and it's like, well, I need to know how to run this thing, not just bringing people in every time. And so that's, over the last year and a half or two, I've really kind of stepped up my kind of engineering kind of studio acumen, you know? And that's also shaped my process, because it's like I'll hear ideas and like that heightened sense where it's like I'm working on something and I'm hearing an instrument that's, you know, a Yamaha CS80 brass sound, and I'm like, oh, I got to get that out, you know, and I have that so that I can do that, you know. But then that's a process that takes a while, because it kind of unfolds. It's fast, but it's unfolds because I'm just like bouncing around instruments. And but when I was younger, I didn't have the luxury of all that. You know, it's guitar, a couple things, you know, and a four-track recorder. So I noticed that a lot of my songwriting friends were going on these songwriting retreats where they would just go somewhere for 5 days or 6 days, whatever, by themselves and find some songs. And it was kind of funny because I was looking for some exotic kind of place, like off the grid in Colorado that, you know, is like organic toilets and no running water. And I was like, well, I can't carry stuff. You know, like, how crazy am I? And I knew I was going to be so busy. So I was like, I'm going to go straight to Wimberley, which is, like, only 25 miles away. And I live in the country. And I did pay money to go to the country by myself. But I just took a four-track. I bought a four-track cassette recorder of 1984 Fostex. And I came out with 5 songs in 3 days. So... And that was, I didn't have all the other musical instruments to go, but I just had the guitar, the notepad, a few sounds, can move fast, you know? So that, it just shows you that it's not just one way to make some, you know? And we have to, like, continually, you know, be non-absolutist in our creation, in our lives, you know? Like, oh, I'm never going to do that, you know? Like, you know, if it's not hurting anyone, like, be open to things, because that's where you'll find new things. You'll find, discover new things about yourself and have growth and be on fire, you know?
Exactly, because I know that, I think some people were kind of giving you flack because you use synthesizers, and I didn't understand because I thought that that, you know, was something cool. I mean, you can use them or not use them, or...
Yeah, I want to find sounds. That's what I'm trying to do, is find sounds that connect, and sometimes maybe that's a record that has some synthesizer. Maybe sometimes that's just a song with an acoustic guitar. It's like, the reality is I'm going to make a body of work, you know, and some people are going to like some stuff more than others, and that's the stuff you realize, where you don't get hung up about, oh, it's like, I'm just going to make a bunch of music, and I hope people can enjoy it, you know? And so that's what I'm doing with the studio now, is I've really kind of grown my production, my output, not just writing, but then recording. So, you know, I'm working on two different separate pieces, albums at the same time right now, just really... Really, it's really a great time for me.
Is it tough? Do you find that it's tough to toggle between doing two albums at once? Because I know that when you do an album, it's almost like you're telling a story, and it's a huge part of you. Do you ever feel torn between, like, this should go on this album, this should go on that one? Or,
well, you know, I think kind of having a production background at this point, that I kind of, some of my inspiration is kind of from maybe a song that I've written, and then I'm like, this would be a cool idea to make an album like this. So then that becomes the embodiment of that inspiration, where it's like, ooh, this thing would sound good for this, you know? And that's been kind of exciting to kind of challenge me a bit. And it's not been frustrating. It's just like, cool, I'm going to do this. And I've just been like really been a maniac. I have dry erase boards, Walter, that are like 32 feet long in the studio. Like five. And I just like write crazy stuff, you know, like my sketch, like how I'm going to finish this, and that's meant to helping me have some sort of like slight maniacal organization to it, to complete stuff, because that's my happiest moment, I realized over time, where it's like when I'm making stuff at home, that's, because that's something that's never changed. That's what I've been doing since I was 13, writing songs at home, you know, so that's still my first love, so I want to do as much as I can.
I love it. I was going to ask what, you know, what motivates you, what keeps you going, because I know it would be easy to get burnt out, but this is something that you love, that you've been doing since 13. What started it? What started your love for it?
My uncle played electric guitar, and I thought it was just so cool, and he would play Johnny B. Goode, and I had piano lessons from my aunt. I have a pretty musical family, you know, and my aunt was a really prodigious player at a young age. So I took lessons from her, and my uncle on the other side of the family was a little, like, long hair, a little rougher, you know. My mom would drop me off and, you know, make sure, like, you know, Joe, make sure your friends don't come over here and get drunk or smoke weed, you know. Good luck. Good luck, Mom. But he would just rip Johnny B. Goode, and I was like, I gotta do that. That's cool. And my mom bought me an electric guitar when I was, like, 12, and just started playing, and pretty soon wrote songs, because I was like, it's fun to play other people's songs, but it just naturally kind of came like that for me, you know, and it's all I wanted to do since I was 14, because I saw that 94, 95, that the Beatles, ABC Beatles thing, it just like was such an inspiration, and I don't know, it's just the dreams, I guess, you know, and living them, and trying.
I love it. I want to backtrack for just a second. I want to talk about your most recent album, Lifted. Tell me what it was like, the writing process, what went into the album, because when I listen to it, it's a very spiritual album. I hear some gospel undertones. I mean, it's amazing. It's an odyssey, and when I listen to it, it takes me on a journey. Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, thank you for noting that and experiencing that, you know, I mean, I was at a place where a lot of my friends were, you know, that after the elections, there was just, and, you know, I live in a pretty insulated sort of world, and an artist kind of world. All my friends are progressive and hit people, and you know, so there was a lot of energy that you could feel from all that, you know, that was really heavy, and I didn't want this to be a record of protests about that. I didn't want it to be anything about that. But what I had noticed, because what I had noticed was that one day I was just like, I can't feel like this for like ever, you know, I gotta move on and like work and do things, and it was a really honest moment where I realized how much, because I was hadn't written a song in a while, and I had written a song and wasn't thinking about anything, you know, except for writing a song, and I was excited. And it, I guess it made me realize how much music's always been like that for me, like this, even before I got into like ideas of meditation or knew anything about that, that I was always finding a space like that. And, you know, I thought that other people maybe, you know, feel pain and fear too at times, and music is this great ability to, if I'm making it or I'm listening to it, that you get in it and you can lose yourself. If at the most you just kind of, at the least, just like lose yourself for a minute, and at the most like have a maybe a little more deeper thing. I think that all that is just that inspiration that, you know, sits in and makes you feel good and maybe can inspire you to do whatever. And I'm not saying that means you're going to change, you have to change the world or something, but maybe it inspires you to make something. Maybe, you know, I've met fans that said that like my songs made them start playing guitar, and now he and his dad play guitar on the front porch on every Thursday together. You know, it's like, that's what real, again, tangible things. They don't have to be so expansive that are like, oh, sure, Israel, whatever. Where it's, you know, finding, giving inspiration, sharing inspiration for people to be excited and take something from an album and make something. You know, create something. People think, oh, I'm not creative. Create anything. Make something. Like, that's what we can do, you know? And that's how we grow. We can learn more and make more things and find that joy from that, you know? And maybe share that more in our everyday lives. And that seems like a good thing to me.
Yeah, I completely agree. Because I feel like, you know, part of changing the world starts with changing yourself. And like you said, if you can do just something small and start there, you can go on to do greater things, bigger things. So
I tell people, change the world around you. No, it doesn't matter how big your world is. It doesn't matter if it's really small. Just change that little thing around you. You know? I don't know. It's beautiful.
I love it. Tell me about, you know, your music. It's been a catalyst for change for so many people. It's brought peace to so many people. What is it, when people hear your music, what do you want them to take away from it? The message to take away.
You know, I think every album is different, but I've realized that the tone is still from me. And I think that I just want people to, I guess, really enjoy some music, and wherever that takes them, I'm happy. You know, it's like, I love it when I see people that are like having a, you know, Israel Nash Sunday, and it's like a little rainy, or that someone else is, I'm having an Israel Nash Saturday and it's sunshine. You know, it's like interpretations, you know, it's like there was this Japanese artist that came over to the West, and he would make these paintings, and like the students would be like, how do you do this process? And he's like, what's wrong with you? Can't you feel? You know? So, and all feelings are different. So it's like, you know, that's what I want, is I want people to feel from it. Just feel something, you know?
I love it. I wanted to ask you, so I know you guys are gearing up for this tour, and I think it'll take you through the end of August, for September?
Yeah, the end of August.
So afterwards, do you guys plan to take some time off going into the holidays, or do you think will you have any North American dates?
I think that, and we have a few dates in Colorado, I guess, in early August. And then I think we have some unannounced stuff that might be coming up in the fall. And then, yeah, I'm going to be kind of taking a little time and kind of working on some of these albums, and we might have some new music floating out sometime. You know,
cool.
We played a few new ones today.
Yes,
so
I did. I caught that.
So,
which was very nice.
So that I've been doing some work in between Lifted, which has been fun.
Yeah.
Because it's like busy, but then that's helped me, because I realize I don't write much on the road. It's given me something to look forward to. So I'm on the road and I'm planning, okay, this time I'll be home for 8 days. I'm going to do these 2 days and get this thing out. And that's helped me just really move it forward rather than in, okay, I got to wait for this cycle is done, and then, I don't know, it's just helped me put a perspective that has less temporal bounds, or it's not about this year, or it's just about this movement, you know. So,
do you ever struggle to stay motivated because you do so much? Is there ever a time where you're just like, you're just dragging, you're having trouble, you know, coming up with the words to a song or the music that, you know, because I know music comes from the heart, and yeah. Is it ever hard for you?
You know, it's just been something that's so natural for me. I don't mean that it just comes out so easily, but I am fortunate enough to, like I said, to have the space that I do and have the studio. And, you know, my wife is very understanding of the craziness of me and very accepting and loving. So, you know, she knows there are times where the girls will kind of go to bed earlier and I'll go down to the studio from 7 to maybe 4 in the morning, and I'm not writing a song the whole time. I mean, sometimes I'm just thinking or reading, trying to have my space, like, where that creation can come, and it does, you know. I mean, I write a lot, and I try to keep that as an active kind of muscle, I guess, you know.
How do you balance being a husband and a father along with being a rock star? It's got to be tough, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not like I'm a different person when I'm out here. It's a different energy, you know. It's a little more calm and peaceful. And my daughter is like the rock star at home. You know, she's the diva. You know, she asked me. She's like, "Can I ask you a question?" And I'm like, and she had some sass. You know, I was like, "What?" She's 6. It's like, "Yeah, what's your question?" "How dare you?" It's like. That's what she likes to say. "How dare you? If you, hey, can you clean your room up? How dare you?" You know. So yeah, she's the diva, but I think that has inspired, again, my life and music, just to have that anchor with the family, and to teach my daughter that, you know, I mean, she's grows up with these like long hair crazy people that just do their own thing, and my parents supported me so much, the best they could, you know, being from Missouri, and no one, like, who does this kind of stuff, you know. But they bought me guitars. I was playing in bars when I was 17, you know, some stuff they did their best, you know. So it's been cool to see when I was 10, I would see guys with tattoos and be like, "Oh, that guy must be a bad guy or something." So, yeah, I think she'll be free of a lot of those perceptions. And that's exciting to be able to be a part of that, you know.
I love it. I love it. I just have a couple more questions. So this is cliche to ask, but your name, Israel, how did you come up with that?
Well, how did you get your name, Walter? Your mom?
Parents, maybe.
Well, I mean, there is sort of a little spiritual story to it. My mom was trying really hard to get pregnant, and just they were unsuccessful. And she kind of had a spiritual moment, epiphany, and felt that she was in her spirit that she was going to have a child, and it was going to be a boy, and to name him Israel. And, you know, so there was some heaviness in that, because there's, you know, this idea
of like,
leadership or something. And I have my mom to keep me in line, because she lives just right down the hill. We sold them 2 acres, and mom makes, you know, food and sends it up, and cookies, and also gives me a piece of her mind every now and then.
I love it. I love it. Man, that is awesome. My final question is how can our listeners keep up with you? Where can they reach you? Are you, I guess, social media savvy? Do you like doing the social?
Yeah, you know, I've been, I've got, you know, all the Instagram and Facebook and Google it, and Spotify, and buy vinyl and CDs and come to shows. I mean, yeah, it's around the internet, you know. So come out to a show though and find a space to listen to the music and listen to it with headphones.
Yeah.
That's where you hear the secrets, you know.
Israel, thank you so much. I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to just open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
I just really appreciate you guys taking the time, and Walter, that you've been a fan and that the music has mattered to you, because that's what it's there for. I'm glad that we could connect and continue this thing, and I hope to share more, you know.
Thank you so much.